Marjorie, what on earth are you doing with a pony and trap?
I've got to get to the village. I must.
No, you can't. The saddler hadn't repaired the harness yet.
But Mountjoy, that doesn't matter. I've got to get there. The horse knows his way blindfold, without harness.
It's too dangerous, Marjorie. You'll just have to wait until the...
There's the postman.
Ah, I'm only sir, parcel for you.
Oh, Mountjoy, is it the harness from the saddler?
Yes, Marjorie, at last they've arrived.
That is an excerpt from The Rain Cave. Another of the books we recommend you to read, especially during the next half hour.
Meanwhile, for those who can't read, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are stock car driver Hemsley Cornflower, the Honorable Delia Duff Whittington, Hugo Frampton and his musical jam jars, Miss Lottie Shoehorn.
I bet she's easy to get on with.
To continue, Digger Whitelock, Yul Braden, and of course, Mr. Kenneth Horn, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horn.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Beyond Our Ken. Brilliant humor, good taste, breathtaking songs, scintillating wit, and superb production. Well, those are just a few of the things we could do with on Beyond Our Ken. However, while we're waiting, let me tell you some of the things I did last week. On Monday, I went down to Tunbridge Wells for the International Festival of Folk Music and Real Cool Morris Dancing, which was being held in the Viennese room of Ziggy's Roller Skating Rink and Conservative Club. And in case you're interested, the brass band section was won by the Chalfont and Giles Distressed Gentlewomen Military Music Ensemble with a Lonnie Donegan arrangement of Does Your Chewing Gum Lose Its Flavor on the Bedpost Overnight and Circumstance. The cornet solo was played by the Honorable Amelia Woking Fitzmolton, or as she is effectively known in the district, Old Hotlip. a richly deserved title, as I discovered later. However, on Friday, I was driving to the BBC when my car developed a mechanical defect. So naturally, I drove into the nearest garage. Good morning. I wonder if you could help me.
Yes, certainly, sir. The scrap metal yard is in the next street.
Don't be rude about my car. I just want a little attention, that's all.
Well, I'm afraid I'm not familiar with that model. I've only been in the trade since 1927. I better call the governor. Mr. Larkmore.
Come in, Charlie. Now, what seems to be the... Hello? Yeah, Charlie, nip me inside and ring the police. That car's been stolen from the Victoria and Albert Museum.
No, it hasn't, sir. It is. An old crook.
Where's the car? Morning, sir. You're a bit off course, aren't you? The others will be in Brighton by now.
I'm not on the London to Brighton run now, then. You kindly find out what's wrong with it. I think it's something to do with the clutch. Every time I change gear, the chain flies off the racket.
All right, Charlie, let's have a bonnet up.
Oh, lovely, Mr. Larkmore. Just look at the engine.
I bet that burns a lot of coke. Hello, what's this? You've got a leak in your radiator.
A leak? Oh, yes, I know. I was touring Wales the other week. They gave it me as a souvenir.
Hey, just a minute. I think I found something. Yeah. Oh, yes, there's a fault here in the ignition system.
But what is it?
The candle's gone out.
What did you say?
I said this.
Quiet, you fool. We're not here for our help. Well, sir, I'm afraid this is rather serious. There's definite signs of a major deterioration in the suction intake output, causing severe reverberation in the crankshaft casing.
Oh, what does all that mean?
About 50 pounds.
50 pounds? I've been offered that for the car.
Well, I'm afraid that's our price, sir. Look, sir, I'll tell you what I'll do. For the same money, I'll trim the wicks on your headlamp and give you a free 900,000-mile service.
No.
Mr. Larkmore, Could I make a suggestion?
If it's an expensive one, yes.
Well, I was going to suggest the gentleman might buy a new car.
Surely. This is your finest hour. You've justified all my faith in you. I knew I did the right thing when I stood bail for you. Charlie boy, pop and get a couple of brochures for the gentleman.
Right on, Mr. Dunstall, all right.
Look, I don't want a new car. This one's perfectly sound.
Begging your pardon, and with all due respect, but if you were to give that car a good kick like so...
Well, the old thing will fall to pieces. Hasn't it?
Well. Yes, you know, that doesn't prove anything. I mean, look at this new super deluxe car. If I gave this a good kick, like so.
You see, sir? Oh, just a lucky kick, sir. Probably a faulty one, but you just try and do the same to one of these others.
All right. Well?
He was right, sir. Applies to every model we've got in stock. Just look at the debris.
Blimey. Have you had a lady driver in here?
Charlie, you any good at jigsaws?
Well, I think I'd better be getting along now. I'll pick up my car later. Oh, dear. No taxis, no buses and such.
Like a lift, Ken?
Good heavens, it's Pat Lancaster. What a coincidence. Where are you going?
I'm going to the BBC.
Well, that's another coincidence. So am I.
Well, jump in. As a matter of fact, I've just been rehearsing my number in the car.
In the car? What about the orchestra?
Well, it's got a very large boot. Like to hear it now? Well,
this show is full of coincidences. Sing, Pat.
Isn't this morning one wonderful morning? It's just like a morning in May. And yes, I think I won't want to love today. Look at that sunshine, that wonderful sunshine. Just what makes the sunshine that way? Who knows? Who cares? I won't fall in love today. Only yesterday I was purer and bolder than most. Yesterday I'm maturer and colder than yesterday's toast. I feel so grown up, so wonderfully grown up. What more I do grown up say? Who cares? Who says I won't fall in love today? Only yesterday I was purer and bolder than most. Yesterday I'm mature and colder than yesterday's toast. I feel so grown up, so wonderfully grown up. What more have you grown up to say? Who says, who says, I won't fall in love today? For yesterday, yesterday, wonderful, wonderful yesterday. So I won't fall in love today.
Jolly nice, Pat.
Well, here we are.
And thanks for the musical lift. See you later.
Bye.
From TT. Well, I hope I'm not late.
Ah, there you are, Horn. Now, about this new program we want you to do. In recent months, the BBC has become aware of the popularity of such programs as Mrs. Dale's Diary and The Archers. And now we've got plans for a new family series set in the frozen north.
Oh, good heavens, a radio show on ice.
Precisely. A simple story of Eskimo folk.
I see. What are you going to call it? Eskimo Nell's Diary?
No. There was one suggestion. We call it Life with the Sea Lions. But we decided it was a bit near the knuckle. They'll be called simply The Nanooks.
The Nanooks. Sounds fascinating. Tell me more about it.
Well, the whole thing is set in a little Eskimo village called Ice Bridge. And when the program starts,
Jan, wake up!
Oh, what is it now?
You were snoring.
Oh, I never snore. Must have been the wind.
Shouldn't have eaten so much whale last night. Anyway, it's time to get up. It's February. And there's work to be done. It's about time you fix that hole in the roof right over me head. No wonder I'm grey-haired.
No, not grey-haired. That's frost.
And another thing, you always keep pulling the seal skins off me. No wonder I don't catch me dead. This place is like an iceberg. Morning to night, I'm cold. Do you hear? Cold.
Oh, wrap up.
What in, I might ask? I haven't had a new fur coat since last spring.
All right, Alice, all right. As it happens, I got you a new fur coat yesterday. It's outside.
Oh, Jan, you shouldn't have. Oh, well. Well, dear, let's see it then.
Oh, there you are, my little darling.
Well, you might have taken the bear out first. What use is that bear to me?
Well, I thought they might train him to do the housework. Well, you know what they say, a new broomer sweeps clean.
You just get that animated arse rug out of there. We're overcrowded as it is. What with the children, the aspies, and that old walrus in the corner.
That's Uncle Ted.
Well, it's about time he went.
We can't turn him out just because he's getting a bit long in the tooth.
But he never moved from that foot. Anybody'd think he was frozen to it.
He probably is. Anyway, if anyone's going, it's all good to look at him.
You leave him alone. Leave him alone. He's my seal of merit. Yes, he was. He was given to me by the Institute of Good Igloo Keeping. They said I had the best pot rose in Greenland.
Hello? Who's that coming this hour of the year?
Oh, that'll be Rosemary's boyfriend, that nice young Mountie.
Oh, me calling you.
Nelson's here.
Oh, he mustn't see me with me hair in icicles.
Oh, come in. Come in, Nelson. You won't be a minute.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Nanook. It's a nice little igloo you got here.
Yes. Ours is an ice house, ours is.
Well, all right, Nelson. Take your polar ice cap off and make yourself at home.
Have a good journey.
No, here. What do you think?
What?
Well, I got the dog team harnessed up, and when I said, gee up, they just laughed in his face.
You should have said mush.
Oh, right, they laughed in his mush.
Hello, Nelson.
Oh, Rosemary, I love you. Come, let me put my arm around your arctic waist. Give us a kiss. Oh, your nose cold.
Well, Nelson, dear, how have you been keeping?
said. And in the truth, I ain't been too good.
Oh, well.
I went to Dr. Iceberg about it, and you know, I've got one of the rarest complaints in the Arctic Circle.
How very painful for you.
No. No, stop messing about. He told me he'd never come across it before.
Oh, Nelson, whatever is it?
Prickly heat. No, here. Come on. Rosemary, what do we do?
Let's start for the west end of the ice floe and watch the northern light. That's right, Rosemary. So in the Aurora Borealis.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Well, Alice, I'm off. Give us me harpoons.
There you are, dear. Going fishing?
No, I'm going down to the Whale at Anchor. We've got a dance match on.
Bye, Dan. Oh, by the way, bring some candles home with you tonight.
Okay.
We've got nothing for supper. Oh, well, I must get on with your glue work. Oh, well, that's up a bed, mate. Now I best adjust. Come in!
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Nanook.
Yes?
Of 23 Glacier Avenue, Icebridge.
That's right.
Well, I am from the News of the Eskimo World.
Oh, sit down, won't you? Like a cup of blubber and a pemmican sandwich.
Well, no, thank you. Well, Mrs. Nanook, it's my pleasant duty to tell you that you've won first prize in our Guess How Much of the Iceberg is Underwater contest.
Oh, am I really?
Yes.
What is the prize?
Well, it's something that no housewife should be without. I therefore have pleasure in presenting you with this.
Oh, I say. Oh, whatever is it?
A refrigerator. And now here are four other people who were once asked to do their act on ice, but it fell through. Anyhow, I'm sure that so that you'll melt too when you hear the Fraser Hayes Ball.
Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horn and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. we present to close up on the summer. Are we in for a good summer?
Well, I think so. The rain's getting decidedly warmer. Well, now, first let's ask some ordinary people their plans for the summer. How about you, sir?
Well, speaking for myself, I can't stand the scorching sun. It's all right for some people sunning themselves on the sand and listening to the waves lapping on the seashore, but not for me. Still, I've got a special system for keeping cool, especially when it's oppressive.
Oh, yes, what's that?
Well, I just sit down to the railway station and stand in front of the people waving goodbye.
Now, how about you, madam?
Well, I shall stay at home this year, you see. Because last year I went to Switzerland, but, I was most disappointed.
Oh, why?
Well, all those mountains completely hide the view, you see.
Yes, well, now, one of the features of the English summer is cricket. Cricket. So let's have a word with one. And good day to you, too. Now, tell us, sir, where do you live? Oh, yes, of course, on the hearth. Now, I understand you make that sound by rubbing your back legs together. That's your way of making conversation. Well, now, what do you do for a living? Oh, you do impressions. Would you like to do one for us now? Good. Well, off you go. What was that? Oh, yes. Yes, of course, a bow-legged cricket having a chat. Very, very good, sir. Now, do another impression. Do a grasshopper. Oh, why not? Oh, yes, because I see it isn't cricket. Well, thank you very much for being with us. And the same to you, thank you. Well, now, another popular feature of the summer months is the Wimbledon fortnight, and tonight we're happy to have with us one of the lesser-known British representatives, Mr. Arnold Pancroft.
Hello, anyone for tennis?
Well, Pancroft, how's your tennis going?
Oh, back and forth, you know. One fourth. We have a deuce of a time sometimes.
Yes. Well, tell us something about your career.
Certainly. Up to when I was 8 years old, the pater used to play tennis with me every day.
And why did he stop playing with you when you were 8?
I don't know. He probably thought it would be easier to use a racket.
Yeah, I see, but that's... Didn't that deter you?
Oh, no. No, no, no. Good gracious, no. Oh, I'm sure it put me off of this.
Anyway, Mr. Van Gogh, one last question. How do you think you'll do in this year's championship?
Well, I think I can safely say I shall positively terrify my competitors with my very unusual forehand drive.
What's so unusual about it?
I use all four hands.
Thank you, and good luck to the transport. Well, now, rare though it may be, if we do get a really hot summer, one thing you can be sure of, the national press will be full of stories of pavements hot enough to fry eggs on. But has it ever actually been done? We sent Cecil Snaith to find out.
Well, listeners, I'm standing now in Jermyn Street in London's fashionable clubland. Sun is beating down from a cloudless sky, providing absolutely ideal frying conditions. I'm now going to break the egg onto the pavement. Now, not only am I frying an egg, but I've also brought along some rashers of bacon, a sausage, and a rather nice piece of nofa. Quite a little feast. Oh. But it seems to be working. They're all cooking nicely on the pavement, and the smell is delicious. In fact, I'm really looking forward to...
Excuse me, sir, but what exactly is going on here?
Oh, hello, Constable. I'm just cooking a little...
Yes, no, I see. What do you think this is, an open-air cafeteria? Now, come on, my lad, you're coming with me.
No, just a minute, you don't understand. I'm from the BBC.
Yes, we've heard all that before. Now, come on, into the van.
This is Cecil Snaith from behind a mixed grill in Bow Street.
Thank you, Cecil Snow, for that guide on eating out in London. To most people, however, the summer means the seaside, and at any of our popular coastal resorts, the visitor can always find his treasures on the seafront.
Any more for a skylark? Any more for a skylark?
I say, excuse me, miss, but don't you mean any more for these skylarks?
I know what I mean.
Sorry, well, look, when you're finished, how about coming with me to the petting green?
Surely you mean putting green.
I know what I mean.
Or, on the other hand, many people nowadays find considerable enjoyment in taking out one of those little pedal boats for the afternoon.
Ambrose.
Yes, Penny, indeed.
How cool is it out here this evening? Just drifting along aimlessly from wave to wave.
Shut up and pedal.
All right, Ambrose. But I'm getting rather tired.
What's the matter with you? We've only been out for 6 hours.
Look, Ambrose, there's another of those big ships.
Oh, I do wish they wouldn't come so close.
Oh.
Get out of it. Is there right of way?
Ambrose, I'm getting frightened. Let's go in now, dear.
Oh, fine, Sally, you are. I just spoiled school.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was really enjoying it, lying back here under the parasol with me hand trailing in the cool water. Never mind, it's always tomorrow.
Look, Ambrose. There's the man on the beach waving to us.
All right, mister, we're coming in. We know our time's up.
That's right.
We'll pay.
Come on, come
on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come
on, come on,
come on, come on, come on,
come
on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Well, there you are. This is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought. Does a tongue twister get your tang all tangled up? No guide.
You might have been listening to what I've just missed, Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show which gave employment to Kenneth Horne and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Patricia Lancaster, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra, conducted by Paul Fennelly. The script, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Merriman and Barry Took. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jake Brown.